welcome to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
Hi, my name is Ruby, and I'm from Mexico City.
Mexico City. That's right. We're going to definitely get into a good immigration story or just, you know, background, things like that, right? Hopefully at some point in this episode. But where are you coming to us as of this morning?
Oh, from Las Vegas.
There you go. Sounds good. So I like it. Sometimes that can be an open-ended question, right? Of like, where do you mean? Where was I born? Where did I come through? What's my favorite place on earth? We get it all sometimes. So we're really excited. Thanks for joining us. And obviously I found you by way of your creative outlets and just, you know, you putting stuff online and just obviously growing your brand with that. So if you could just maybe give us a little bit of background on that, that would be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. So I started my Instagram account as RubyInVegas_. And I actually started doing social media, digital marketing, and all of that. And one of the things that I will tell to my clients all the time is you need to be and put yourself out there, because how else people or ideal future clients are going to find you? So, saying that was easy, right? Because I knew that's how you build your brand. But doing it, on the other hand, that's a different story. So I was like, how am I going to set the example if I'm not doing what I'm preaching? So I kind of like really started putting myself out there. I'm an artist too. I'm a creative person. So I was just sharing a little bit of me, my story, what I like. And it was so nice how I started connecting to other mind-minded people. And it's wonderful. I mean, even the way you found me tells me I'm doing something right.
Definitely. And honestly, that's the way you do it, is you're talking about it's easier said than done, right? And oftentimes it's like, it can be so much behind the scenes work on any creative project. It doesn't matter if it's a podcast or a video or a, you know, photography thing. And that's all stuff that you dabble in. So it'd just be awesome to hear about kind of, have you always been like this? Like, did you, you know, go in school growing up, were you always artistic? You know, did you know that this was going to be something that you wanted to pursue full time forever?
You know what? That's so funny, because actually, no. I was very confused when I was like growing up. I think I'm always being like an extrovert type of person. I love to be around people. I love community. And I'm always like, when I was growing up, I was like the soul of the party. Even when I was like 4 years old, I have videos of my entire family dancing around me. And I was like, no, come on, everyone, you know, like just kind of a leader. That was my personality since I was very little. I was also a troublemaker because my teachers, they will not like me very much because I was a challenge. I wasn't the typical quiet student. I was a challenge to all of them because the way I learn things, it's very different from the typical education that we get, right? And so I think like since there, I had different needs, you know, and my need of being heard and being understood was so different. So when I started growing up, I wanted to create something that I never had when I was little, you know, and I knew that I needed to create a way of, because I knew there were other people like me out there. So it was just me trying to do different things all the time. My dad, he's a businessman. He is a self-made entrepreneur. He built his entire company from scratch. He believed in the Mexican dream. So he had nothing and he built an empire. Him and my mom, because they will work together hand in hand. And so he wanted me to go into like a business career, a business degree. Like he was pushing me all the way over there. And I was quite the opposite because, you know, when you're a very creative person, you have to be in a different department than accountant or administration or all of that. So it was just like a fight between me and him because he always wanted that education for me. And I think that if my parents will pay a little bit more attention of what were, you know, my talents, and they would kind of like pay attention towards what I was good at instead of making me something I was never born to be. I mean, I think they did their best. You know, you always want your best for your kids. So I knew they were really like wanting me to have something they never had, because that's what happens, you know, when you have parents that they literally had nothing. They want to save you like this struggle, right? So they just wanted that. So for me, when I was like at college and everything, I was kind of lost. I had you know students, or sorry, like friends, and they were so sure about what they wanted to do. You know, they already had everything, like they had a plan of their future. And for me, it was very frustrating because I was still like finding myself. I was still like making questions about, is this really what I want? And when you start college, if you think about this, you're very young. Like, I don't feel like you at that age have already figured out everything as who you are. What is it that you like? I feel like you're changing a lot, right?
And then on top of that, you're pulling out tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in pursuit of a goal that you might not be passionate about a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. So yeah, it's definitely it can be a clusterfuck sometimes, right?
It was a lot of pressure too, because my dad already had a plan for me. He had a lot of expectations. And I was just like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was sure that I didn't want to do or take care of the family business. You know, I just knew that wasn't for me. And it was very hard. So my dad was like, okay, you're on your own. You know, you need to figure it out. Because that's your calling. And I'm like, he told me, like, I gave you everything that I could at this point, but you need to grow your wings and fly. So I kind of like started intuitively seeing things as of like what I want to do. I always like I'm a great communicator. So I thought like, well, maybe this is where I want to go. But back then, everything was so controlled about like TV, radio, everything about like you building your brand throughout YouTube, Instagram, social media wasn't like it is right now, right? So I think like I started as seeing all of this digital communication on the very early stages of how it is right now. So it was like a different education. You needed to have connections and things like that to grow your company. And Mexico City is a city that there's a lot of competition. One of the like most of the best companies, they have branch out over there. They have offices over there. Like, you have no idea how competitive it is. People, they have master degrees, they have a PhD. Like, it's so insane the amount of titles and stuff you need to have in order to grow, or it's insane.
I'd like to stop right there for a second. And my understanding of Mexico City is that like it's one of the largest cities, if not the largest, like on the planet, right? It's top five or top 10, right? Most populated. So how you grew, were you born there?
Yes.
And how old were you? Like how long did you live there before you moved out here?
My entire life. I
Okay.
moved here 4 years ago.
4 years ago. So you've only been here 4 years. Congrats. That's
Thank you.
awesome. So I want to hear a little bit more about some of the culture of Mexico City. Like I've never been, I've wanted to travel since I've heard that like it's popping over there. It's super, you know, there's lots of culture, the food, everything that I've kind of seen has been fairly, you know, like, hey, I'd love to take a trip out there. Do you like going, have you been back since you've left or do you ever see family or how does that work for you?
Not really. When I moved over here, I decided that I want to stay here, and it's a hard decision. But I knew like eventually I will figure a way of how to start building my company and everything that I wanted to do, and that required my full attention and my full determination. I believe in the quote, "burn the ships," that in Spanish is quemar las naves, which is
Oh, I
basically,
like that.
you know, when you just like make a decision and there's no way back, because that's gonna also make you feel like is it either you succeed or you succeed. There's no an option for me. So I haven't seen my family in 4 years. That has been one of the migration grieving processes. It's very hard, to be honest, because it requires a lot of, I'll say, emotional intelligence. My dad, he visits me here and there. He comes around like one or twice a year. So at least, I get to see him. But I kind of like had to build a family and a community over here, because if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't make it this far, and I probably wouldn't have done the things that I've done so far. And
And
oh,
I
sorry. Yeah.
go ahead. No, you take it. Go ahead.
No, sorry, because you ask about how is it Mexico City. You're right, it's one of the largest cities in the world. It's actually the culture is crazy. It's the second place with the most museums in the world. So
Oh.
since I was very little growing up, we will be surrounded by a lot of culture, by a lot of history. Like you're walking around the downtown and it's history right there. It's actually where the Aztecs empire was built. So I think it's just like it gets you ready to face the world out there, because it's crazy. Any city, right? Any city is chaos sometimes. It's beautiful. I love my country, but at the same time, the day I made the decision to come over here was because I didn't felt secure anymore. I had a gun pointed at my face at one
Oh
point.
no.
The
Here
violence,
or
no,
where
in
at?
the city. The violence is, it's really insane. Being a woman over there, it's a total different story. You're not, you pretty much can't be walking at night by yourself, because that it's just like putting yourself into a lot of danger. And there were certain things like any city, there's more areas that are safer than others. But still, to me, like not being able to go to the park and walk my dog freely sometimes without feeling like I need to watch my back, I need to have someone with me. It's just, I don't know. It's very different over here. The reality is so different. As a woman, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You're very free. Here, I go to the park sometimes at 4 a.m. in the morning, and I don't feel that anymore. So that safety to me actually was what it made me, had made this decision.
And it made you super resilient. And I think one of the kind of main points I want to jump into is you're talking about that pressure from your parents, right? That's a very big thing. And something that, I learned over the past few years is like, as a parent, which I'm not a parent yet, you don't have any kids, do you?
No.
Yeah, not yet, right? So, it's like I remember I heard this mom telling me you have to parent the kid that you have, right? And I think I'm in a similar boat with you to where actually it kind of just so was lucky that like the stuff my goals that I wanted to do in life actually aligned with the stuff that my parents wanted me to do. Unfortunately, though, you remind me a little bit more of my sister to where she doesn't fit in our family as far as like our family is very like go, 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 drive, drive, this, everything's a plan, blah, blah, blah. If you're not on board, you kind of get left behind a little bit, not intentionally, but we're just so fast and so like this is what we do. And then you have my sister who sometimes we forget, like, oh my gosh, where's Lily at? Like, what happened? Because she's a creative, right? She likes to take her time and process things and, take a step back and kind of just like, we can go here, we can go there. Like, there's not a lot of pressure, right? And her talents are just as, successful as ours. But I can see that, like, my parents have had such a hard time helping guide her. And it's one of those things where it's like I've learned watching them kind of maybe make their mistakes with her to where I know with my kid, regardless of their background, I love sports, I love business, I love, being outside. If my child wants to just sit inside and play the guitar all day, I have no interest or background in that. However, I would support that and be like, hey, let's get you some lessons if that's what we need. Or like, let's go to cool guitar shows, right? Just try to support. And I think oftentimes that old school mentality of like, you got to learn it on your own, right? Like, if you're not going to do it my way, you're going to figure it out your own way because I had to do that, right? And I get that mindset and I have empathy for that, right? Like, maybe your dad or maybe my parents, right? To where I go, if in order for me to go to a higher level of success than you did, why would I not take all the experiences and the help and the guidance that you're willing to give me in order to go further than you were able to get? Because if I just start on level zero, just like you started at level zero, guess what? I'm only going to make it as high as you were able to make it because we have a limited time out here on this planet, right? We have to use the, you don't have to do it all on your own, right? And it's like some people do. They are self-made and that's amazing. However, you're not any less than like a person, or you're not any less successful walking through doors that some people maybe helped open for you or with you, right? At the end of the day, it's the mentality that you have. The way I look at it is like, I didn't grow up in the streets or a gutter or any sort of like super hardships, right? Like, my parents provided a great life. They had me very young, so it took them a while to make some money. However, the way I look at success is like, how far did you take the needle from where you got it? Just like a track race, right? When you got the baton, how fast was your portion of the race? It doesn't have to be from the same starting line as everybody else, but it definitely has to be. That's like to the listener, is just because you're, don't have maybe the same hardships as your parents, don't feel like you're like softer, you have it easier. Hard work is hard no matter how you do it, right? It's like when you're in the gym, no matter how strong you are, 45-pound weights are still 45-pound weights no matter what, right? So I think it's awesome that like you're able to make it through that, because it sounds pretty hard as far as like, it fucking sucks. And I've experienced that a little bit, but I've always been a guy that's like, yeah, if I'm gonna make a decision, I'm gonna finance it, right? And then my parents, it took them a little longer to come around and be like, we do support you. Like, this may not be the way we would do it, but we support you. We hopefully it'll make it out, and like, it's a beautiful thing, right? And that's kind of what family's for. And regardless of how you did it, whether it's the right way or the wrong way, they did their best. And I love that you have that maturity and that outlook on it, because it's like, yeah, my parents fucked things up, right? They put some certain things in me to where when I walk around, I'm like, oh yeah, no, this isn't how other people see, or this isn't how other people's childhoods were. But I know that they did their best, and I wouldn't, and they're coming from a limited amount of tools too, where like my grandparents did the best with what they had, right? If you're thinking about America at that time in the 60s with the civil rights era and immigration and things like that, it's a crazy world. So as long as somebody did your best, that's kind of what your job is with your family in the future, right? Is just to be like, let's just try to make it a little bit better, and hopefully maybe my kid can actually become artistic if that's what they want, and have the support and not being like yelled at or screamed at or things like that. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, exactly. I actually love the way you described everything. I remember like my dad will be so hard on me on learning a second language, and he will have me doing like extra hours after school on learning English. And he was just like so strict in that sense, and I was very little. And one day I was having a meeting with someone, a business meeting. And he's like, well, for how long have you been living here? And at that time, I was like 2 years. And he's like, you have a great English for that time. And I'm like, well, thank you. That was my dad. He wanted me to have a second language. And even though when I thought he hated me when I was, of course, like younger, and I couldn't understand why is he treating me this way? Why is he so strict? Nowadays, I realize he just prepared me for the world out there. And the reason why I am who I am and I have the opportunities that I have, it's because he was like that with me when I was little. So, of course, now I'm 30 years old and I have conversations with my dad, and I'm like, Dad, thank you so much for everything that you did. Now I understand that you did it out of love because you loved me so much and you knew. And that's the way you knew how to teach me to have some tools in life. And I feel like what we have done as a generation is redefined or put a new meaning into the word success, because our parents parents had a different definition on success. And I feel like for me and the people that I have around me, their definition of success is you being happy. Like if you're happy with your life, if you're happy doing the things that you do on a daily basis, that's success. Whenever I say, like, they ask me, Ruby, what's your biggest achievement in life? And I'm like, being alive. That's my first biggest achievement is
Yes.
being alive, because I've struggled so much with so many things in the past. And like you said, I agree. My dad had different challenges. He probably had the struggle of not having food on the table, right? Not having a place stable where to live. And I never had that. He made sure, you know, when he knew I was coming into this world, that I was never going to go through the same things that he went through. And that made him like succeed in life, and that put a different like energy into everything he was doing. So I never had those struggles, right? Like economically, we were at a very good place. I have private education since I was like in kindergarten, but I struggled with depression and anxiety and ADHD, and my dad couldn't understand that because in his time, that was just like a luxury of having a mental disorder or a mental disease. He saw it like, you're just lazy. You know, you need to put yourself into doing this, doing that. When I was 17 years old, I had my first suicide attempt, and I was diagnosed with borderline personality. And I think that was the first time that it really hit him, like my entire family, about like, she's not just inventing terms. Like there was like a professional, a psychiatric, like and also like a therapist, you know, like explaining the entire thing, that it's something that happens also in the chemicals, with the chemicals of your brain. And it was just like so shocking to them. So yeah, I might not had those struggles, but I had others, and I'm pretty sure that he did too when he was little, but he never had access to mental health. You know, their caregivers couldn't give him that, you know, and the fact that I did, I'm still like around all of this grateful that I was able to have professionals around me helping me going through this, that I've been working on myself since then. And I'm grateful for that part of a struggle in my life that keeps me now being wanted to help others, you know, and tell them
Yeah,
there's another reality out there.
definitely. And honestly, I think one of the main points to where I really do have empathy for, let's say, our parents, right, who necessarily didn't have the luxury, like you're saying, of taking the time to be like, hey, I'm in pain right now, or I'm hurting, and this isn't a state that I want to be in, because everybody that came before us was always in a constant state of pain or struggle, or just like, fuck, we're in Mexico, the opportunities are limited, we have to get to America, the Mexican dream that you're talking about, right? Same thing with, black folks, or just anybody in that time frame, right? You don't have the opportunity to say, oh, I'm hurting, right? You just kind of build that callus and just operate within the. It's like if you have a car and one of your half your engine's blown apart, you're like, yeah, nobody else has a full engine. So guess what? We operate with half an engine, keep driving, and hopefully you get to your destination. To where now it's like I look back and I understand, and I have the same mentality of like, I'm so happy that my parents put that level of pressure on me, because I know that I'm now able to operate under a higher level when that does happen. Happen. The only hole that I have in that is what I will do differently with my family and the people that I lead is the one thing you said of as a little girl, you were like, why does my dad hate me? That makes my heart hurt. You know what I mean? Like it really does, because I can put myself in the position where like, I know that's not what your dad wants. I don't even know your dad, right? But like, that's definitely not what he wanted, because that's not what I would want either. And I know that, let's say it was the 90s or the early 2000s when you were feeling this way. If I came, had a time machine, and I went back, what's your dad's name?
Rafael.
And I was like, Raphael, this is how she feels. if there's another way to get the same outcome of putting the discipline, putting the leadership and the hard work that you're trying to put, but we don't have to make it so painful, would you take that option? I guarantee you, 10 times out of 10, he'd be like, all right, let's look at this option. And the way that I'm looking at it and how I develop as a leader, I don't use force. I don't believe in like kicking somebody when they're down. And because I get it, let's like, I was, you know, my parents beat the hell out of me with a belt, right? That's how you learn things like that. Mexican culture, very similar, right? But I go, there's a better way to do it because I understand what a spanking is for, right? It's for you need to learn your lesson, you need to kind of obey, and you need to become resilient because guess what? People are going to do this outside of the house to you. You need to be able to take it. The way, and I thought that for years. I was like, that's the way it has to be. That's what I have to do. And then recently I go, no, that's not the way that I teach things. I teach things one step at a time, and we slowly build it up to where, let's say, I'm teaching you how to drive a car, right? I'm not going to put you in a car and put you on the highway and say, good luck, right? Go drive over to the Bellagio, right? Go down Las Vegas. It's your first time in a car. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, there's too many lights. It's too crazy, right? That's what like a spanking is. That's what a beating is, right? What are we going to do? We start with in a parking lot, right? I'm sure you did the same way. Your dad taught you in a parking lot, right? And then slowly you went into the streets and then slowly you went onto the highway. That's how we teach everything else. Why is it that we would now do this discipline thing in such an aggressive animalistic way? And then I realized why. I was like, oh, because of that era, they couldn't afford to take the time to actually like spend 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours explaining to a child, like, this is why it's wrong to throw books at your teacher or something. You know, kids mess things up. They're all, this is why you can't come home without telling anybody because dad has to work two, three jobs. Your dad was building a business, right? My dad was doing the same thing. They don't have the time to do that. So it's like, hey, quick slap on the butt, obey, listen, because I said so, right? And then the kids never get the tools to be like, oh, well, I'm just doing it because my parents say so, versus like, no, this is what I want to do because this is my dream and my goal, right? Kind of a long tangent, but that's something that I've been thinking about lately of like the way that you lead doesn't have to be by force. It can be little by little. And then if we're missing, because I used to hear that argument and be like, okay, but what about the toughness? Like now that you're not beating a kid, when is the kid going to get tough? Life is tough. Like
Yes.
sports, right? Sports, working part-time jobs, school. Like there's competition everywhere to learn how to actually be like, no, I'm not going to get left behind. That is a thick gallon jug. I love that. That's what you're drinking out of. That's your water bottle, huh? But do you see where I'm coming from to where it's like, I definitely understand that older generation harshness, but the way that I would do it now is if I would take my daughter and I would be like, hey, this is why we're going to try to learn English because you can communicate with more people. You can help more people, right? If you want to go to America one day, right? Guess what? That's the language that you're going to have to use to be able to communicate with all these people so that you can help move your mission forward and providing value to your community, right? Now, I don't know if a 4 or 5 year old is going to understand that verbiage, but they can understand, you know. Because it's good for you and it'll help you get more things, or you know what I mean? Like you just take it to whatever level they're at. And if they don't understand that, I feel like the important thing should be as a parent, as a leader, if they don't have that tool in their toolbox, then give them that tool. Let's try to develop that tool so that they can learn it, so they can use it down the road when it's needed. So that's been something that, like, we're very similar in that kind of upbringing of like, fuck, it was hard and it was pressure. And there was a lot of like unnecessary pressure too to be like, you have to do this because if you're stuck in a ditch in the middle of nowhere, you have to be able to take care of yourself. And it's like, well, right now, we're not in a ditch. We're not stuck. Like that's a 1% chance. So how about we enjoy the 99% of the day? And if that happens, we'll deal with that when it happens instead of using the 99% of time to be like, what happens when someone tries to fuck you over? What happens when somebody tries to do this? You know what I mean? I'm sorry about my tangent or rant, but that's how I do on this show. But like that's kind of what I've been thinking. What do you think?
No, I agree totally. And you know what? I'm really happy and I'm really glad that our generation have different tools. There's a lot of like podcasts, YouTube videos that they
Yeah.
talk about emotional intelligence, that now we realize how to be in touch with our emotions. Well, there is a movie that talks about emotions for little kids. I didn't grow up with that, you know? And now the fact that other, like this new generation, is having all of these topics on the table. We're talking about sexuality. We're talking about equal gender. We're talking about so many things that we never spoke at our homes, and a lot of tools that we have right now. You know, we have workshops, we have tutorials on YouTube, so where you can pretty much learn everything that you want. We
Yeah.
have this new idea where you don't need to have the 9-to-5 job to exist. You know, there's more options. And when I was growing up at school, nobody told me that I could actually live out of my talents, that I could, you know, get to connect with other people, that it's out there, that they exist. I was so limited in this like small circle of things of how they needed to be, and being like so disconnected from that network that exists out there was just like making me feel like I was alone in all of this. And I know for sure now, people, kids, when they go to school, maybe they're not connecting with their peers, but sometimes somewhere they have a online community where they're talking to other people that feel the same way, and they're having this sense of community. Like even you and me, we're having a conversation. You're in a different place, I'm in a different place. I could be in a different entire part of the world, and it wouldn't matter, you know. And the people that
Yeah.
are listening to us on the other side, they're also getting to, you know, get the best of out of this conversation. Maybe they resonate on how they grew up, or the things that they wouldn't do with their kids nowadays.
Yeah, it's beautiful too, and something that I don't think about enough, which I should. It's a little weird. I don't know if I'm selfish. Tell me what you think. I don't think about like the listener's location as much as I feel like I should, because when I look on the map of the show, it really is scattered everywhere. It's Europe. It's, you know, here in America, Mexico, India, like places where I guess people really need to think about that is because as a consumer, we watch videos all day from all over the world, right? No matter where it is, just places. And we don't even think about it. We just think like, oh yeah, this is just what we do. But it really is a way to connect. And if it's used properly, right? Like the main thing with, let's say we can get into this too, digital creation or things like that, right? Where it's like, I've done a really good job my entire life of understanding I don't want to compare my behind the scenes life to somebody else's highlight reel, right? And obviously I'm very not, what is it? Like I'm guilty of this too, of, hey, we're on vacation, like look at us, we're having a good time, like oh my gosh, it's amazing, these videos, right? And you can't compare your behind the scenes, like I'm just editing in a podcast most of the time, right? Like I'm just on the laptop in my house, like what did Ruby say here? Okay, let's put that here, la 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 la. When meanwhile I scroll and I'm like, I wish I was in Hawaii right now. Like I wish I was traveling around Italy, where it's like, you know, you can't compare your behind the scenes to somebody else's highlight tape. You just got to take it how it is and try to be as positive as possible. But the point that I want to hear about with you is like, what was your kind of opinion of America, let's say 4 years ago, right before you got here? And then when you got here, do you remember what that first day was like? Was it everything that you thought it was going to be? Was it better? Was it worse? Was it both? Like, what do you remember from that? Did you come straight to Vegas, or where was your first destination?
So I used to come all the time over here just like for vacations. I would
Okay.
go to San Diego, Utah, Wyoming, you know, like I would travel here and there. I think when I just made the decision, it was because I also had some projects already going on in Vegas. So that's how I like to say Vegas chose me to be
Yeah.
over here. I really love the city. I don't think it's a city, really. It's a small town. That's the reality. Vegas is like so tiny, small compared to where I'm coming from. It's just like, this is just like a cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
It's really small. There's a lot of opportunities. I fell in love with the community, to be honest. The people here is very welcoming. There's people from all over the place. with different backgrounds, different cultures. So you kind of see a little piece of everywhere in the map, you know, like in the world, put down here in Las Vegas community. So I kind of like felt very welcomed and in like everyone, you know, it's just like so nice, something I've never seen before. But to be honest, they're like 10 years behind of what they're doing in the big cities, you know, because marketing wise, I was just like, are they still doing flyers? Like, are they still like, is that a thing? You know, even like on social media, the things that they're using, like their production wise, I think it's growing very fast, and there's a lot of people still coming and moving from different parts of the world over here. And that's bringing a little bit more of like what you're saying, like competition and stuff like that, I'll say. But I don't think people believe in competition anymore. I think there's more people collaborating, which I love, to be honest. And the fact that what you were saying, like it's so easy to compare yourself. But I feel like we all have different stories, and that's what makes us unique. And like you said, you can't compare yourself with people that's been living here. In my case, you know, like their entire life, they were born and raised here in Vegas. And then I'm as me as an outsider, you know, like I'm trying to achieve things that for the small time amount of time that I've been here, it's kind of impossible. So I need to remind myself, you know, like a few times, like, no, just, you know, take it day by day and just go back to your story where you're coming from. But I mean, I miss, of course, like the culture, the spaces in the city. I used to live like everything super fast, and Vegas is like super slow. When I start driving over here, oh my God, I was so frustrated. I'm like, why is everyone taking their sweet time out of everything? And I realize that's the piece where people leave. Like it's very slow. Everyone's taking their time. They get into their cars and they wait for a little bit before starting to drive. And I'm like, okay. So it's just kind of been like a process of me adapting to the entire thing. But yeah, I think I did
There's
that.
some positives to that pace, though, that you're talking about too, that you found, because I found that too, of just obviously being from Southern California and everything is so quick, quick, quick. Get that parking spot because it's not going to be there in 5 seconds. You know, hurry up and get your groceries out because we got to get out of here. We got to beat traffic places, right? And there is something about knowing, like, no, we can leave at any time of the day we want because it'll, okay, 5 minutes plus traffic, like, whatever, that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. You know, there's going to be a space, right? And just knowing that those little things are there, I have learned to appreciate it a lot more than like when I was growing up and stuff like that. Have you had a similar experience, or are you just like, no, everything's slow?
When I moved here, it was like, oh, we're going here, but it's like so super far. And I'm like, how far is it? And they're like 30 minutes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But in the city, we make 2 hours, 2 hours traffic to get anywhere. Like you need to get out of your house an hour before if you're gonna get somewhere in time. Like it's impossible. And for me, it was just like so funny because in Vegas, everything is like 20, 15 minutes away, tops 30, too far, 40 minutes. That's just like way too far. Like 45 minutes, wow. And people that come from other places are like just laughing. Like Ruby, that's nothing. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
And it is hilarious because, like, the last thing, and then I'll start to kind of land the plane here. But the strip is right in the middle of everything. Like, Vegas is in the middle. It's 20 minutes away from wherever you're at. Let's just say, generously, it's 20 minutes away. Hop in your car, go park at one of the casinos. I'll meet you inside of whatever it is that we're trying to do. And it's like an easier time, right? So it's just so funny. And, like, thank you for obviously sharing a little bit about your story. I have usually about two more questions that I like to ask every single guest that we have on just to kind of close things out. The first one, you don't have to have an answer to. I just like to open it up and kind of see where you're at. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up or talk about on this episode that I failed to mention so far that maybe you were thinking about earlier today or yesterday or something like that that you maybe wanted to share?
Yeah, well, pretty fast I'll say that as I always wanted to create spaces where I can feel like I belong to. One of my first projects working over here was in Vegas 702, which started being a digital magazine because I started to see people and businesses out here, and the narrative was the same, you know, and I feel like we needed a space to showcase the people that make Vegas Vegas. Vegas is nothing without their people. So I started highlighting the story behind the business, the story behind every person that contributes to this community that's doing amazing things, and nobody's watching, nobody's paying attention. So I really wanted to highlight that. And that's how it started growing. And right now we're launching a talk show on YouTube where we're having more people out of the community that they have achieved amazing things and they have amazing stories to share. And I would love you to have you as a guest one of this day
Absolutely.
for you to share your story too. And now you're kind of on the other side.
Yeah, I never get to do that. That's always fun.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of people that they have their own platforms and podcasts and everything, and it's just so funny because they're in the first time like in the other side, and I'm learning a lot from all of them. I'm learning a lot from all of this stories, and I just want other people to realize what it's really Vegas about, what it's really the community about. So that will be it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And honestly, one of the cool parts about the kind of experiences and the brands that you build is the number one thing is collaboration, like you're saying, which it's so important to anybody who maybe is a victim of that mindset of like, oh, because I see, let's say if there was another podcast here right down the road or something like that, and I saw that they had a billion views or something like that. If my first idea is, oh my gosh, what about my show? My show's so small compared to that show. That's not the right way to be thinking. You should look at it as like, oh, fuck yeah, podcasts are killing it. Like, that's awesome. That's amazing. That means more people are watching that show. Maybe I should reach out and see if they could come on, or maybe I could come on, or it's just awesome to watch from afar. Like, I support that they're doing amazing things. If I have any questions, I would love to reach out. You know what I mean? If they have any questions for me, hey, I'd all ears, and I'll give you anything you need, right? So collaboration, it's like you'll move further when you guys work together than if you guys keep trying to shoot each other in the back of the head and this and that. It just doesn't work out how it has traditionally, because like I said, we're in this world globe to where like you can really try to get a hold of anybody. And if you're interested in something, you can learn about it and then you can post about it. And the cool part about your like the kind of digital platform that you're building, which is you can actually have access to those people. They're tagged right there in every single post. Like just click on them. Oh, hey, here's this thing with Venture. Oh, what's this guy about? Oh, I can send this guy a message. Where a physical magazine, it's like you got to call a number maybe, or you got to like physically go to the address and maybe they're there, maybe they're not. And it's just amazing that like people are able to collaborate with one another. Things are accessible, right? And I think kind of this leads into our final question that I have for you, which is as you've been able to experience what we're doing here with Natural Thoughts and Talks and kind of how we're really trying to let people highlight, you know, what it is that they're passionate about, are there maybe two to three people that you can think of that you'd like to shout out maybe here in a second that they could either be really awesome entrepreneurs, right? They can be strong female voices like yourself, or they can just have a really positive spirit. Those are the types of people that I'd love to reach out to and see if they'd want to come on and maybe share just like yourself. Does anyone come to mind?
Yes, I actually have a few people in mind. I've been working with an amazing woman. Her name is Jocelyn Abrego, and she's a quantum healing coach, and she's
Oh.
based here in Las Vegas. And we're actually working a project together that's called the Goddess Circle LV, which is also a group to help other women and do activities that help your inner growth. And I feel like as women, we need that. We need that community. We need to have that sisterhood too. So I think she will have a lot of valuable information to share.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I love her and her personality. She's so cute. And other two, okay, I need to open my Instagram right now
Oh
because,
yeah, take your time. There's no rush. It's an
oh,
awesome question.
you know what? I love, she's a coach. She's a fitness coach.
Oh, that's awesome.
Her name is Savannah. And it's so funny because we met a while ago. And wow, she's just like, she's such a sweetheart. She has a beautiful story. We both come from like overweight. I was 200 pounds when I moved over here. And we kind of like shared this journey. And now she's also helping a lot of women throughout their weight loss journey, but more into like connecting really with their body and loving themselves, because I think a lot of people approach this thing about like losing weight into a negative way of, oh, I need to look a certain way, not just because they want to be healthy. And as I say, I just want to, I work out right now, not because of the aesthetic of it, but I want to be 90 years old and I want to be able to get out of bed and take a shower by myself. So that's like my mindset right now, just like nurturing my body, myself, and being able to do that. So I think she will be great to share with. And the third one will be Giselle. Oh my gosh, she works with an account that it's called Nothing to Do LV, which is one of the biggest platform that I know of community here in Las Vegas. This started years ago, when Instagram was born, I think. And they are all sharing about like events and things that are happening around Las Vegas and around the community. Her and the founder, Coco Jenkins, they are really like the true meaning of community here in Vegas. They support a lot of local businesses and they're mostly on Instagram, but you can find them everywhere. And they also have a web page where they share about all the events. If you have an event or something going on, you can send a flyer to them and they will post it for free. So it's a great like platform. And I think those two, Giselle and Coco, they're amazing women. I love them and they really represent Las Vegas. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And honestly, thank you for sharing. Honestly, hopefully we'll have you back sooner rather than later, right? And it's one of those things of just like hearing sort of the obstacles that you've been through. It makes people feel, like you said earlier, like you're not so alone. And when you feel like you have people in your corner, it's such a strong feeling, right? You feel like you can accomplish anything. You can go up to any project and make it a success because you know that if you don't know something, the per people on your team probably do know it. And it just makes it less of a gamble and it makes it actually more fun too when you have people enjoying the ride with you, right? And that's life, right?
Yeah, no, and especially like s since Vegas is a place where we have people coming from different places, you need to start building that sense of family and community because we're not meant to be alone. And we thrive when we have a support system around us. That's the reality. And I think that's beautiful and that's very important for people moving over here. And then they're like, well, where do I find friends? Where do I find people that they're into this, right? And they can also learn from each other because that's important too. So yeah, totally. I love what you're doing. Thank you really. Thank you so much for inviting me. I think you're doing something amazing here because you have a purpose. You're going after something that you feel in your heart and that you're sharing from your heart, because I can feel the passion of what you do. I can see that, and your energy is really beautiful. And I think you're doing this in the right way, which is really just creating community and sharing for all the listeners that are out there. You ask me if I think if it's selfish, like not knowing where this people is listening from, I think you're not. I think it's quite the opposite. I think people that's going to connect with your energy, they can be anywhere in the world or out of the space, you know, they can be in Jupiter, Mars, and they can still feel like they connect with you and they like what you share and your output throughout this conversation. So thank you.